Hello.
Wow. Here we are.
And
oh man,
what?
This camera is all. Why is this camera tilted this way?
Oh, what's it? Is it tilted?
Get me Kevin.
No, not wide. Him.
Hi. Normal. Okay. I can vamp. They call okay, me Lady in the Vamp. Damn.
Okay, you know what?
Bad job, Sean.
Why is really it on? Okay, why is this camera? I've seen some live productions where that was how it was treated the whole time. Now, why is this camera like? So I'm trying to make it not like that.
That makes the camera guy feel real confident in his abilities too.
Yeah.
It's
is this camera darker than the
so
other one?
Is it so dark? Why is the camera so dark?
It is.
I'm gonna fix it.
Who fucking put it back? No, Sean, you had your chance. It's my turn. Hey guys, I just want to shout out to the Patreon. If you're a Patreon subscriber, thank you. It's been a blessed 3 months.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, go back to wide Meg.
Yeah, that's much better.
This is how it always was.
Look at that. No shadows.
It's fixed. Thank God I was here to do what couldn't be done.
You know what's really funny? This is a fun story that you'll just fucking love.
Okay.
My microphone stand was really squeaky. Like,
yeah.
And Meg's like, yeah, you can definitely hear that. So Garrett's like, I'm going to fix that. Don't worry. I got some WD-40 in my back pocket. I'm going to lube you up and you'll be all set.
Yeah.
And now, no squeaks.
No squeaks.
And then Garrett said, I'm going to be proactive and get all these fucking mic stands.
All four.
Because I don't want any squeaks on our set. And I said, thank you, Garrett. And now, he did way too much. And look over your mic stand, Garrett.
Yeah, if you can zoom in on me, Kev, there.
I can't.
He has to hold it.
I think I have to hold it.
It won't.
What the hell happened?
It knocked my hat off. It
overlubed.
I got too wet. I got it too lubricated.
You did too much, and like even Rocco's like touching it, and it's like not staying where it should. But again,
mine's good.
No squeaks.
I think we should be holding on to him and piloting him around in case we move.
You got a pilot.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, theme song.
I'm a lonely horseman, got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides a lonely horseman. Got my gun at my side, I'm just trying to be a lonely horseman.
Welcome back. Hey, I just want to address before we keep going on too far.
Yeah.
I see this in the chat a lot, and I just saw it a second ago, so I just want to tackle it. Somebody in the chat said, is anyone else in this chat horny? And I just want to get out of the way. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Horny on
me. That's right. Sometimes you got to let everyone know horny is on main.
So I just, you know, this is human. I like to be as open and honest. You know, I don't like holding things back. I like having a personal, you know, bond with the audience, and I'm just being real. Yeah.
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 It's a good.
Sometimes I text Jenny and I say, I'm horny, dog.
What does she text back?
Ditto.
Ditto. Wow. Yeah.
I text her that too, but it's not. I don't expect. I'm just.
You're letting her know.
I'm just being real. Like, hey, we're real.
Oh, yeah.
We're
I'm not expecting anything either. I'm just
respect
letting her know.
I respect you guys so much. And, if you know, Sean needs taken care of. Yeah. You got to do it. I didn't expect that. Obviously, this isn't like a. I may be apple cucked, but that's where I draw the line. But I just want to be open and honest with everybody.
Texting your friend's wife, I'm horny. It's not weird.
Hey, my favorite thing about Siri, day one when we got Siri, was text mom, I'm horny.
Yeah.
That was the best.
I remember getting the first iPhone that had Siri, I believe was the iPhone 4S. And I remember getting that the day before we filmed the Ghost Recon video in like 2011 or 12, whatever that was. And I got out of the car and said, hey guys, this is the first phone with the voice command Siri. Before I even finished the sentence, Eric was going, hey Siri, text mom, I'm horny. Text mom, I'm horny. Hey Siri, text mom, I'm horny. And it was like, oh.
And it said it. It said, text mom, to your mom, and it said, I'm horny, and it said send, and then Rocco said no, but we were close.
Yeah, we almost got that sent.
We were screaming, yes, yes, Siri, yes,
send now.
It was
but that is like, Eric just said that, but it's brilliant, because everyone has a mom contact in their phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just says mom.
Mommy.
I didn't say mommy.
There's some people out there, they call her mommy.
If your phone says mommy.
Yeah, what's.
That's a little.
Who's allowed? Who's, okay, who's allowed to say mom? Tight.
A child.
A kid.
A kid, yeah.
And up to a certain age. Like, if you're like 15.
No, that is not the way to address your mother.
When you're like four, totally.
Sure.
That's fine.
And daddy has taken almost that's like, has been nut. Like, that word has like been reclaimed as like a weird
don't
sexual
go there.
Thing, I feel like.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you're a little kid, it's fine.
I see a lot of guys getting called daddy in a sexual way.
Where like, do you see this?
Online,
you know,
dude.
Walmart.
Where do you? Where, I because I don't know what that is.
At the bank.
Walmart. Wiener schnitzel.
No, I'm going bank. In. Let me cash the check. Sure thing, daddy. Hi, it's like, daddy. Oh, don't. I'm here for the money thing. I don't want to be objectified. Please don't say that. Mm. And they're like, whatever you say. Teachable moment.
Yeah. You do wear that name tag. Yeah,
someone in the chat
on.
Said like two things that are weird are mommy and mother. Those are
mother.
Mother
doesn't the vice
yeah,
president
mother
call his wife mother?
The what?
In what?
Our vice president right now.
Oh, does he? I don't know.
I think he I calls his wife mother, like a real old fashioned. Let's go to dinner tonight, mother.
I know. Oh, the dad in Carousel of Progress does that.
Oh, really?
Her mother's working on the basement right now. She's going to turn it into a rumpus room.
That's some old shit.
That kind of, I mean, turns me on, you know, that working on a rumpus room in the 1960s.
Can you imagine your dad calling you, go, oh, hello, father. Hey, father.
That sounds like Prometheus Android David shit.
Yeah.
It just it sounds
yes,
weird.
Father.
I was going to say.
Will I ever have feelings, mother?
You can only, I'm cool with calling like a computer mother or father in reference to the Alien franchise. I always thought that was cool that they refer to the computer as mother.
That is cool. That is cool.
I just watched Alien in 4K. It came out in 4K.
Nice.
So you finally saw it for real.
Yeah, finally saw it. Dude.
Before he was half seen
it. I didn't even know there was an alien in it.
Yeah.
You could see him hiding in the pipes now.
Yeah, you could see.
He's there.
You could see who made the pipes. The manufacturer, you know. No, but that movie in 4K was incredible. It was so well done. And it's only the first one. And I'm like, cool. When are we getting the box set? Give me all of them. And they are like, yep, James Cameron has to oversee every transfer of his movies. That's his deal.
Wow.
And he ain't getting to that anytime soon, so forget
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the seed bearer takes priority.
Yeah, Avatar the seed bearer, you're right.
Nice.
So, and then I was like, well, shit, but what about the rest of them? And then I stopped myself. I was like, you just want the second one. Yeah. Who cares about the other ones? Yeah. Okay. You know, if it was all in one box set, I'd get it, but if you can't do the second one, what the fuck are we doing?
That movie that I really think that you should watch, Rocco and Garrett,
mm-hmm.
a documentary called Filmworker about the guy with Stanley Kubrick. Like, this is made for you two, both of you.
Yeah.
So please,
okay.
Getting Rocco to watch something that we've touched, it's not possible. It's not possible, but you should watch this one.
I'll get it.
But he is the guy who has to frame by frame every upscale of all of his movies is this dude doing it. And it's like, man, every frame is him like going through and like making sure.
What's the name of the house that he works at? Did he say? Is it Lowry Digital or like?
I don't know if they said or if they did. Didn't retain that. It's called Filmworker. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Filmworker.
Because I watched a real in-depth one when they remastered A Hard Day's Night for the Beatles. They went. It was someone just showing every frame. Like, here's how I get rid of this. Okay, now here's a hairline. Here's a fracture on the film. So this is what I do. And it was really fascinating.
And it's him taking this like magnifying, like this like you know, little thing. Like, every frame is like going through it. It's like a nightmare. What a nightmare.
Yeah, that was pretty dope. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're a big film nerd.
Yeah, I love the remastering kind of process and all that stuff.
You got to see a very special print of a very special film this week.
So this happened in LA this week. Something happened. They the Academy, like the Oscars Academy, or whatever. They have a vast archive of film stuff, obviously, and they this week inherited the Dijkstraflex camera, which was invented for the original Star Wars. It was a an early form of motion control. And motion control is basically a camera that can be programmed to repeat the same movement over and over again.
It's got little motors in it.
Yeah. It will repeat the exact same movement so that you can add stuff to the shot in multiple passes and then put all that together and it will all follow the same movement. if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
And
that's how they get all the miniature shots of the space fighting and the dogfights and stuff.
Yeah, they said in traditional stop motion, we would have a bunch of models and then it would, you know, move it. But then you don't get any motion blur. That's why stop motion doesn't look real. There's no motion blur like this right here, you know. Motion control, you could just have... you know, the Millennium Falcon model swoop past the camera as it makes the same movement, and then you do it again with the Death Star model, and then you do it again with another thing, and you lay those shots all on top of each other, and they're all going at the same rate, and you get motion blur because the camera's actually moving. It's not just stop. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I hope I'm explaining. I try to explain this stuff to maybe people who have no idea about production or whatever, so maybe if I might be sounding like an idiot here, but anyway, that original camera, John Dykstra created that camera.
And named it after himself.
What's that?
He named the camera after him.
Yeah, you'd be like the
dude.
Ego.
The chat
maniac.
Lens.
If I invented that camera, it would have been the Bodytron.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Bodytron. I would have gone all in. The Rock-O-Matic.
All right.
It's branding. It's branding. So.
Sure. Okay.
But anyway, so they got that original camera. It's in their archives now. And because they were doing that, they busted out. The Academy in their archives has an original 70 millimeter print of the original Star Wars.
Oh,
no changes. Oh, no nothing.
Hell yeah.
That's in their archive. They never bring it out, but they were like, well, we're already bringing it out for this event. Hey, you know what? This Saturday, we're just going to screen it. We're going to throw it on the projector and play it.
Wow.
They sold tickets for $5.
$5.
Just to cover the cost of playing it on the fucking thing, you know?
Yeah, paying for the ticket terror. And
so, yeah.
Keep the lights on.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I got there. So I was like, dude, they didn't really advertise it. It wasn't a promoted thing. But Jason, our friend Jason Cryer, great artist, tipped me off. He's like, I heard about this. I don't know. You might want to check it out. I was like, sure. And man, I'm glad I did because I got there Saturday. So they showed it Saturday morning, which was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. I got there and it was a whole presentation. John Knoll, who was a big shot at Lucasfilm in getting their digital side created, he created Photoshop. Like that was him. So that guy was just hanging out with everybody, got to talk with him. That was so cool.
You're rubbing elbows with all these elites.
Yeah, it was awesome.
At the Academy?
So this guy's just hanging out, and we're just chilling on a Saturday morning. He's like, yeah, look at the camera here. Look how this part moves. I'm just like, dude, what the fuck is happening? Like, this is crazy. also, in L.A., where they had me park in a structure, and they comped the parking. They stamped it. Oh, you're good. I was like, hey, in L.A., that's rare.
Whoa.
Anyway, so we went and talked to that guy first. They actually showed, he got up there, and he's like, today's presentation, we're actually going to show effects now versus where they were. So we're gonna play Rogue One first. Like we're
the
actually
whole movie?
Yeah. So Whoa. They played the whole they played that first. It was an audience of film nerds who were ready to just be there all day. So okay. It was like, hey, fuck it. We're gonna play Rogue One. I was like, okay. And I was
70
like,
oh. millimeter?
It was like the highest quality version they had of it. Okay. So it looked incredible.
Cool.
Sound that theater. So that theater we watched it in is the Academy's own like screen theater.
Ooh.
And they so everything like looked and sounded perfect.
Yeah.
So it was so fucking loud and every part of it was separated where you could just, it was so good. And you know what? We watched through Rogue One and I remember like reactions on it were kind of divisive when it came out.
Oh, I loved Rogue One.
I enjoyed it too. And I enjoyed it even more now. And when that ended, everyone in the theater was like, hey, that was better than I remember. And I was like, yeah, that's a good movie.
That's a great movie.
I really like Rogue One. There is shit I don't like in it. You know, did they need all the ham-fisted, like, fan service kind of moments? No. Did they need CGI people? No. There's things I don't like.
Yeah.
But I think overall, I was sitting there and I'm like, this is the movie I would have begged for in seventh grade when I discovered Star Wars.
Hell yeah.
I wanted more expanded universe. That movie delivers on all that. You know what
I
mean?
You got Mads? Like, you got Mads
in there?
That's
an underrated movie. I really like that movie.
That movie is great.
So whatever. I'm going on record and say that was a good ass. I think that honestly is one of the better things. I've liked all the Disney-made Star Wars movies. I've honestly enjoyed them all, but it might be... I'd be my favorite of them.
I think I like Force Awakens the most, and then
Force Awakens had the fun spirit of Star Wars in it. It wasn't the best plot-wise, but it captured the spirit, you know. But anyway, okay, so whatever. I liked Rogue One. So anyway, that was cool. Then they played Star Wars, And yeah, it looked incredible. The rumor was that they were going to play a print of it that was even... So the first time they ever screened Star Wars, when it came out, May 1977, that opening crawl came out and it... One, it was like shaky. It wasn't even like they filmed it. They like just took a camera and filmed down a printed out thing.
Oh my God.
And then Luma keyed it, you know, that's it. So it looked goofy, but it didn't even say episode 4, A New Hope. It just said Star Wars and there was the crawl. That was what we believed was playing. And it's so funny. They played it. It did say episode 4, A New Hope in this print. And it's so funny. As soon as it was done playing, all the film nerds in the audience knew exactly what that print was from. They were like, oh, that's the 1980 re-release print. Within they only put it in theaters for a certain amount of time when it came out in 1977. But in 1980, right before Empire Strikes Back came out, they showed the print. And that was the first time they showed episode 4, A New Hope in the title. So people knew from every little detail what it was going to be. And they spoke before the thing. Sorry to keep going on about this. They spoke before the thing. John Dykstra came out and talked. And he said, this print. We didn't have from George Lucas did not give us a 70mm print of the untouched version like that like he got rid of those prints. He did not want those out there. He said, but this version, we found this cut of it. We found it was it was in Europe or the UK.
Oh, wow.
And it existed over there. Someone still had it. It was never used in screenings because and this is kind of funny. He's like, I don't want to spoil this movie for anybody.
Star Wars?
Something big explodes at the end of the film, in case anybody hasn't seen it. The film breaks right when it explodes. So he's like, it's kind of funny when you screen it that way.
Yeah.
Because, man, they blow a certain thing up so big it ends the film. But he said, but that's why they never used it. So it sat there perfectly just untouched except for that part.
Just for that
but he
break.
Said, but our projectionist believes that they fixed it to an acceptable level. We're going to put him to the test today.
Oh, wow.
And so they played it. Together? And so, yeah, it gets to that part. They fly off from the Death Star. Da, 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 da. And it like kind of jumped for a second as it exploded and it was fine. And everyone clapped so big, like,
so
you
cool.
did it. Yeah. And it was like, dude, you did it. Like it was good. Like you could tell something was weird there, but it was,
that's good. Literally with that type of film. That's literally taping the frames back together where that tear is, right?
He apparently got surgical and like, you know. But anyway, it was a great print of the movie. Really, the only thing was that it would have been cool if they got that one pre episode 4. That would have been cool. Yeah. But that's the best. I think that's the best the world has to offer. Yeah, and they said like this. They said we had to go through so many hoops. They still had to get George Lucas's approval to show that version. So he must still have some pull with that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like of
he
his
sold
films.
It. Dude, you sold it.
And they said, and we got him to sign off on it as a historical thing. So here it is. So anyway, it was super cool. Imagineers were in the audience. Disney people were in the audience. It was super crazy. So it was a lot of fun.
Any Mega 64 fans in the audience?
Yes, because I tweeted about it the day before. I had about 5 or 6 different people come up to me. Hey, man, just want to say I didn't know about this until your tweet. Thank you for tweeting about that. I got a ticket.
You're a hero.
I had that happen like 5 times. It was hilarious. So I'll tweet about more weird shit like that next time. But it was great. And then I drove directly from that screening. Credits rolled. Got in my car. Went to Galaxy's Edge, which is open to the public now and really hasn't been very busy. Mm. That area, I guess, has a good amount of people in it, but it's manageable. I think the tourists are staying away because they thought it was going to be bad. So it's really not that
scared of alien races.
So I went there.
Xenophobic.
And I got the Batu mug. I went to the planet Batu. This proves it. So I just want to say thank you, everybody, for that. Yes, I did visit
Black Spire. I've never been.
No, Sean.
Well, you could have gone Saturday.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Until it's ready. I don't think they got all the kinks and the bugs worked out yet.
Well, there is. I mean, the biggest ride is still not open.
Yeah, oh, really?
That's really
why I'm waiting.
So you're not.
When does that open?
They don't know.
Oh,
it's from what I've heard, it's done, but it breaks down so often that they're like, look, we need to fix this.
You know what?
It's
I say
a huge dark
start
ride.
From scratch, tear it down, try again.
Yeah,
I say Star Trek ride.
Yeah, do Star Trek.
Do something else in space.
Can you imagine if they didn't hype anybody up for that, and then you go on that ride, and all of a sudden it's like, stand down, this is a Star Trek Enterprise, and it comes in,
flies
like,
into you.
Like,
guys,
what fucking galaxy is this?
I'd be so excited.
Engage, number one.
I would be so excited.
Data comes out, and he goes, oh, shit.
I love that.
Geordi.
Oh, my God. You guys, in that movie, when Data said shit, I lost
he
my...
Said shit. Yeah.
So, Kevin, you're laughing behind the camera. Yeah, you're laughing because it's a phony bit, right?
I was like,
right?
Data wouldn't say shit.
It happened.
It was...
Right?
Kevin, they never cursed in Star Trek.
That's not his programming.
Ever. He got emotion. He got emotion chip in it. And the Enterprise is going to crash. Cuss him on his face. He goes... Oh, shit.
Yeah.
13-year-old me was like, this is the best movie.
I remember that movie came on HBO while I was just, I think I was sick. I was a kid and I was just in my family's living room for some reason, just laying there. I don't remember. But that went on and my dad was like, hey, screw it. Leave this on. I haven't seen the Star Trek movies. I haven't seen any of these in a while. And that part happened. Oh, shit. And the scene ended, and my dad went, now, I'm not a Trekkie, but I bet when that happened in the theater, people fucking stood up.
Lost their
right. mind. Yeah, I didn't know anything either, and I was like, I bet you're right.
But legitimately, this show has been around forever. The 50s or 60s, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the Next Generation comes out, and then, like, no cursing, ever. And the first time you do it, you have the android with no emotions who just got it say it, Brilliant.
That's good.
Now, there's talk right now about, it sounds like Quentin Tarantino is doing his Star Trek movie.
I'm down for that.
I'm on board.
And the
that's
stuff,
fine.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. The stuff that I've heard is, he's like not holding back language and shit like that. So you're good with that?
Don't care. Honestly, to me, as the biggest Star Trek fan in the room, I will say that you made the perfect movie of Star Trek, like when they brought it back.
The J.J. Abrams one?
The J.J. Abrams one.
That was a great movie.
Couldn't ask for more than that.
Yeah.
Now do whatever you want. And I like Next Generation more than the original series, for sure.
Yes.
But when I got that movie, I was like, I couldn't have asked for anything more. You nailed it. You tied things in. Yeah. You made it different. Do your own thing. Fine. And so now say whatever you want.
You know what is kind of a shame, though, is I agree that that reboot movie was excellent. But it does kind of suck because when it ended, they're all together and that theme kicks in.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, all the adventures we can have with this crew now. And I feel like it never lived up. Like,
I agree.
Second one. Now, a lot of people hate Star Trek Into Darkness. I still liked it.
Is that the second one?
Yeah. I still liked it. But I remember getting into the movie thinking, this isn't going to be as good. But I still liked it.
It was fine.
Yeah.
They played with your expectations a little bit, and like they changed things around because they were able to do it.
And then they tie
it in.
And
the third one, I didn't even see in theaters.
Because there was a third one?
Yeah. And then I watched like the
first... That wasn't JJ, though. He bailed.
No, I watched the first 5 minutes of it, and I was like, I'm out. But again, I got that first one. I'm good.
No Sulu, so I'm not on board.
Sulu was in the third one.
No, but I need you to bring back George Takei.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He needed that. Yeah.
Sorry,
I hijacked your thing with Star Trek.
Remember, he was upset about the third one because they made Sulu gay. Like, he meets his husband at one point in the third movie.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they thought, like, oh, George will probably like that, the representation. And he was like, character's not gay.
He's like, I'm gay. The character was not gay.
Yeah, he's like, no, that's me. That's not Sulu. It was like, okay.
Well,
everybody thought he was going to be into it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what I thought about the third movie, though.
Did you see it? I didn't, yeah.
I didn't see it until Blu-ray, but I can't remember.
If you don't know what you thought about it, that's probably telling.
Yeah,
I can't even
remember. Who was the villain in that?
The third one?
Yeah.
I think it was a new villain.
Oh, yeah. Get out of here with that.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But I need nostalgia.
I kind of liked the conspiracy shit of the second one. I just didn't think it was as good of a movie.
You know what's funny, though? When they announced they're doing the original series, like a reboot, I was like, yeah, it's fine. I don't care. If they announced that for Next Generation and like they got a new Picard, I would...
No. Yeah, isn't that funny?
No, you can't do that. Even a new Data. It's like, thanks. I don't know what that is.
Younger, hotter Data.
I
would be like Joe Jonas.
Make Data a hot android, like a sexy woman this time.
You guys cannot wait. Picard is coming to CBS All Access, the new show starring Patrick Stewart back in Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is kind of crazy.
I'm on fucking board. And, you guys, there's like a teaser. It's just him like in France with his winery, and it's like Picard labels on his wine bottles, and it's like, don't know what this is. I want that wine. I'm watching the show. So.
Uh-huh. Are you going to subscribe for that?
Yeah, that got me. The Twilight Zone did not get me.
No.
Which I thought it would, like it. But I heard negative things about
it.
Yeah.
Oh.
But this will get me.
I feel like Get Out did so well for Jordan Peele, then everything that has had to live up to it has fallen short.
I still never saw Us.
Me neither.
But everyone I kind of trust with movies, I mean, no, I don't know anyone that hated it, but no. It just kind of shrugged, and so I was like, well, I'll watch it later.
I didn't hate it, but it was like not what, like, it's so hard to live up to how good Get Out was.
Yeah.
Again, I never finished that.
It's not that.
Yeah, I really liked Get Out a lot.
I kind of like it where I left it off, though. It was just a fine family dinner.
Oh, you like UFC? And that was
it was that. It was right there.
You like MMA?
And then that brother had a little... Yeah, it was. And he had like a couple lines where like, what the fuck was that about? But then I ended it.
And that's it.
That's it. Just the awkward dinner.
I still laugh at when my parents wanted to see it. Oh, we want to watch all the Oscar nominees. Okay. I want to see Get Out. You guys know what this is about? Well, yeah, isn't it? You know, they go to dinner and, you know, the parents are kind of maybe, you know, are kind of weird because, you know, they don't know. The daughter's dating this black guy and they're kind of, you know, old school and maybe they're a little bit racist. So, like, they try to, like, you know, talk with them about it. Oh, you guys are in for something. Now,
I know that that's wrong, but for what I know of the movie, they're close. So I don't know. I have no idea what I'm thinking. I should finish this fucking movie.
I haven't even seen it yet.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Yeah.
Get Out was really good. Back to the Quentin Tarantino thing real quick. I thought he was doing 10 movies and getting out.
No.
I thought he said that, too.
I always heard that. And this one that looks good with Leo DiCaprio and...
I'm fucking stoked on that movie.
And Brad Pitt, which me and Leo, first name basis.
Hell yeah. What is it? Hollywood? What is it? What's it called?
I don't remember.
Live and Die. And
Live and Die. But, dude, it's got the Spawn Ranch, like, Manson family as part of the plot in it.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a trailer where they showed the actor playing Charles Manson, and I was
thought
like,
it was what? All about Charles Manson.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's it.
For some reason, I could not... Yeah, I was, either. Like, going blank on it.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So Live and Die in L.A. is a podcast. That's a different thing.
Slums of Beverly Hills, that's a different movie. You're right. Yeah.
Okay.
But, anyway, I thought that was his 10th movie, and he was out. So the Star Trek announcement has me kind of going, is this for real? Or is this bullshit?
You don't think it'll come out? A rated R Star Trek?
Kevin doesn't believe that it's...
I think he's going to keep making movies.
Oh, yeah. He'll make movies, yeah.
You think he'll do his... But maybe take some time off after the 10?
Yeah, I don't know. It's easy to say stuff.
I always heard that he was going to do a Kill Bill Volume 3... And it was going to star the same actress that little girl
when she's grown
yeah,
up.
Yeah, she's grown up.
Which would be fucking
they
cool.
They should make
trying
that.
Trying to
that'd
kill cool. Uma Thurman. And she's probably old enough now.
Oh, yeah.
She's right?
She's not going to be sore about it.
Yeah, because that was 15 years ago at least.
Dude, Quentin.
Make that.
Yeah.
And she's got to kill
Uma Thurman. And you only get Uma Thurman at the very end.
That.
Oh, what a trilogy that would have been.
I hide a revolver in a box of cereal in my kitchen pantry just... from that. I have weapons all throughout the house, but the revolver always in the box of Lucky Charms.
I see that they're saying that Uma Thurman hates him now. I didn't know that.
Fuck. Well, he was into her feet. It was a whole thing.
Mm.
It's not our business, though.
I don't know.
No one's burned any bridges. Anything could happen.
There's a shot where she rings the doorbell in that scene.
Yeah.
And her finger goes so far back in a weird way that it grosses me the fuck out. It's so fucking creepy.
I love stuff like that in film, though, that is like just a close-up of an awkward thing. Normally you'd be like, oh, take that out. That's like a
it just like
weird
her finger
looking.
Bends like it's, oh.
But when they keep that in on purpose, because it's probably like, no, it makes you cringe when you see that.
Yeah.
Just like when I see her toes, makes me cringe.
Okay. Sure.
Is there any shot of feet in a movie, though, that you really liked? Like, go down a list.
Well, back to Tarantino. in Dust Till Dawn, Satanica Pandemonium or whatever her name is, when she pours the whiskey down her thigh and it goes into Tarantino's mouth. Dude, you see Selma Hayek's toes like in his mouth, and it's such a close-up on that.
I didn't see that one.
I never saw that.
You haven't seen that?
No.
Gotta give it up to Tarantino knows his feet. I will tell him that.
Somebody in the chat mentioned Home Alone nail through foot. Yeah. Oh, love scene. That scene.
I love watching Classic. That scene with my kids because they freak the fuck out. And I think that's great. I love it.
Somebody in the chat said happy feet. I'm going to tread delicately here.
Oh.
I'm going to tread very delicately.
Please. Thank you.
Okay, is that the penguin movie?
Yeah, yes. It was. It was a movie with the CGI penguins in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember being at the theater for a different movie. I don't remember what. But, Sean, you were there.
Uh-oh.
And
well, what'd I do?
Someone you were dating at the time was there.
Oh.
And they...
Oh. I know exactly what you're going to say.
They were laughing through the Happy Feet trailer brought them an elation, which I'd never seen.
Yeah. I remember the story.
And it was...
Why
I hate to say this.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Because I don't want to insult anyone.
And so, hey, bleed me, insult away.
But... It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
It was like,
and it was like, could you
I need
shut
to like
the
hide.
What
like,
you didn't
I mean,
do?
It
the...
was. It was seriously from the director of Mad Max or whatever the fuck that guy did direct it. I believe.
What?
George whatever his name is George Miller.
Miller. Yeah.
Yeah. Did it, and the penguins come down, do, and they start dancing. It was. Am I wrong?
You honestly, Rocco, were too. You're toned down too much.
It was
louder. It was louder, and it was like, what the fuck?
That's a sink in your seat. I mean,
it was like, it was
I've
like,
there, buddy.
Because I know there was goofy stuff. Maybe they did every now and then, but to me, it's like, hey, everyone's different. Not a big deal. That was like.
Red flags. Okay, red flag. Red flag. Red flag. Red flag. Red flag.
No, I'm not even saying that. It's just, I had to like kind of
I
get
the
down.
I'm like, I can't go movies with you anymore.
And in that, I've been in that situation. And if you go like, hey, quiet down, like you getting in trouble.
Yeah, you were.
And then
screwed.
You're getting a talking to after the theater. You know, when your friends are away.
Oh, somebody in the chat said, "What are the red flag moments did you have?" Great question.
It's a red flag.
When we saw Toy Story 4, every trailer had fart jokes in it.
Every trailer.
Every single trailer. Except love
fart
for Frozen
jokes.
2.
Yeah.
Kids love fart jokes.
Hey, every single one. Yeah, it was all the same fucking thing. Every kid's movie was, what are we going to do here? Awkward. Yeah, that is so not a thing. Awkward. I mean, it was the same fucking four jokes.
Sounds like Secret
then,
Life of Pets.
Yeah, that Frozen 2 trailer came out, and I remember when it was over, I leaned over to Kevin. I was like, I'm not like a Frozen guy. That was classy as fuck.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, the
like,
trailer's pretty
good. Animation is so incredible.
There's no jokes in it. There's
Frozen
no, like, Olaf. There's
really?
Yeah, the trailer was like, that's what I was telling Kevin. I was like, I was surprised that was as classy as it was. That was really well done.
My girls have finally gotten off the Frozen train.
Yeah.
They
let it go?
Thank you. They watched it. 10 billion times.
Yeah.
And I honestly saw this was coming out. I'm like, I just got off this fucking train and they're going to make these kids see this again. And it's going to go, God damn it.
Yeah.
Shit. I hated the first one. Can I say that? The first one sucks.
Oh, really? I don't hate it, but I thought it was kind of missed opportunity.
The first time I saw it, I was like, fuck this.
I just felt like when it ended, I'm like, okay, so they didn't think this was going to be that successful and they just kind of walked away from it. Like, it doesn't end with a song. I don't hate it, but it was just like that fell short of great.
It did. I mean, honestly, I don't know whoever the fuck had the simplest idea of how about two princesses. Yeah. That was smart. Yeah. That was fucking genius.
I feel like one's bad.
What?
I feel like she's like off on her own and she leaves. She's like disowned from the family because
she disowned herself, Garrett.
Yeah, but a loving family would never let that go. They would be, you know, knocking on her ice door
the
every day.
The whole movie was grim and bleak and not fun. Ugh.
I didn't walk away from it with grim.
Yeah, it was a Fucking bummer.
I walked away from it with they stole about 50 Arrested Development jokes.
They did.
Right?
They 1,000% did.
That movie has like 8 Arrested Development jokes in it. And it's
I don't think that was definitely on purpose.
You're just, but this is going beyond homage.
You
at
have
this point.
One, and it's like, oh, that was for a 1%. Crowd, that's fine, but this was like, I don't know.
But it definitely felt like a rushed out thing. But this one really, like, the footage of it really looks impressive, and it just animation wise.
Yeah.
Which, so we saw Toy Story 4 had incredible animation. I'm going to tell you what about Toy Story. We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh.
But we should plug some stuff real quick.
Yes.
Movie talk went long. Yeah.
Thank you for watching today, everybody, guys. We're doing this kind of impromptu on a Monday afternoon because we didn't get to it. Oh, I want to say too, people asking where's Derek. Derek actually is here.
Yes.
But he is toiling away on a video thing right now, so it was best.
He's working.
He's in the
on
back.
He does that.
Yeah.
We're
hustling.
Yeah.
But he says hi too, and I want to say thank you to everybody for watching. If you like our show. And you also like looking cool and feeling cool, you're going to want to go to shop.mega64.com because we've got so many great items, so many great valuables, so many great relics then
collectors,
and now.
Anything, items.
Any apparel you ever have wanted is there.
It's there.
At shop.mega64.com. Something we like to do when we do podcasts is we like to have a 64-hour special. That's a shirt that's only available for 64 hours. This week, we have a very special one that I think the insiders will like. If you're not an insider, you probably want to walk away. It's the Trouble Finds Me shirt.
Oh.
You're a dumpster baby if you don't fucking like this shirt.
All I want to say is, tight. I like shirts.
Yeah.
So, you know, there it is. That's something that...
This is a deep cut.
Yeah, this is a real deep cut.
We don't need to explain it anymore.
No, I think that
it's
a real deep cut. If you know, you want that fucking shirt.
Yeah.
I want this shirt. And I'm excited for it.
So it's up right now. It'll be up for the next couple of days. Shop.mega64.com. But we've got a whole bunch of other great stuff, too. And... we're going to be rolling out a bunch of new stuff after these summer cons, which, by the way, that's this week.
Oh, my God.
This week, we're going to Anime Expo in Los Angeles this weekend and RTX in Austin, Texas. Again, me and Garrett will be at Anime Expo. Sean, Derek, Kevin, and Meg are going to be in Austin at RTX. So come see us in whatever respective state. There's panel. We're doing a panel on the Friday of each show. So Friday night at Anime Expo, Friday evening at
RTX. We're going
RTX.
Up against each other. It's Friday night panels.
Whose panel is going to be better?
Yeah.
I actually already know the answer to that.
Yeah, me too.
Is it yours?
Yeah.
I don't want to reveal.
Shit.
Well, he did, but
oh, shit.
Maybe
I'm
my answer is different. You do have the first opportunity at both of these cons to get some of this new merch, though.
That's true.
That we've been showing. Both RTX and AX. First runs at some of our new designs.
We have a bunch of new stuff, and then whatever, and then of a lot of that stuff. If we have some left, we'll bring them online. So we'll let people know. But shop.mega64.com. I would say actually, I was honestly thinking, I was like, we should do another thing where we test like who had more fun. Like we do another kind of like fun off battle. But I feel like the last time we did it, you guys had like a lot of fun footage,
so
and it was
fun.
Me at Anime Expo just like putting out fires.
Yeah,
like, it was like the video's not fucking working. It was like
when I got your footage back,
super upsetting.
I got your footage back. I'm like, what did you film? Like, oh, the panel not working. What else did you film? Well, that was it. It's
yeah,
like, well, then
it was like,
then we won.
Yeah, yeah.
You
it
did win.
It didn't turn into much of a competition because it was like I had to. Our booth was on. Was like. We were so busy the entire time.
Yeah.
Our booth was slammed and then everything else had to be, was like something we had to fix. So it was like,
I mean,
sorry.
Brian shaved his head into a mohawk.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
You guys did bring it that year and we brought what was the reality, which was,
you know,
putting out bonfires all weekend.
Yeah. That was,
I thought you were just going to say putting out.
Putting
out.
Not a con.
Also, I think we should promote that we have new emotes on Twitch that you can use now.
Dude, if you're a Prime,
sub, or just a sub.
Just a regular
sub. Yeah, it's the first. So Amazon, whoever owns Twitch, has unsubbed you. So you get a free Twitch Prime sub every month if you've got Amazon Prime. Give us your sub. Throw it our way. Who cares?
Yeah.
And we got some new emoticons. We have Diablo Garrett.
That looks good. I've seen that.
Screaming
now.
Derek. And we have normal guy Kevin.
Kevin.
and that's in addition to the bunch that we just added recently, too. Yeah. So get on there and check that out. And yeah, thank you guys very much.
Yeah.
As always.
Beautiful.
And there'll be more to come as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so Toy Story 4.
Don't spoil, legitimately don't spoil this for me.
All I'm going to say is don't be a toy and go into a volcano.
Okay. Oh, no.
Plastic doesn't, I'm not spoiling it, but I'm just saying if you're ending a movie with toys and you're near a volcano,
don't do that.
No, I'm just kidding. I have been, Kevin, you tell me how your feelings have felt over the past few days. I'm just in this state of dud on it. I'm just like, I had the same review as Solo, a Star Wars story. I went, I had fun. I still don't think that needed to be made. It didn't really justify its existence.
It is not better than any of the other ones.
I feel it is definitely the weakest of all of them.
Yep. I enjoyed it, but it's the weakest of all of them. But all of them are great anyway. Yeah. So being the weakest Toy Story is not a bad movie.
Yeah.
Toy Story is a great series.
But I honestly, the more I just felt like I thought it was the least sharp of all of them in terms of like, I didn't really think it was very funny. And then it ended, and it ends very emotionally, but I felt like it was a lot of shuffling their feet, but we'll make them cry really good here. And it did. I was like, yeah, that was good. But, you know.
Yeah, but you already made me cry.
They got me.
Yeah, I just feel like.
You got me.
You guys really had it, and just leave it alone.
That's okay. And that's
but
the
it's
thing.
Not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. I really think
if Toy Story 3 would have ended with a good ending, that no one would care. But it ended on like the best ending for a trilogy, or one of the best endings for a trilogy.
Ever.
And you see like that, what a beautiful ending to this series.
Random Ortiz nailed it. He's like he just said it in the chat. He's like, it's the one of few series that had no black sheep.
Yeah,
and now you're gonna have four. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's like that shouldn't have
getting
made
long
it.
In the tooth.
But again, I enjoyed it. Hey, I love those characters.
Yeah,
I thought I thought they introduced this like Forky character.
Yeah, what is that?
And the whole concept with that, it's a toy that it is a toy that is made.
Okay.
And it's kind of like, what is a toy really? Like, this is just a fork, but they glued the shit to it. Now it's a toy. And I thought that concept was like, this is clever territory for this to go to.
Yeah.
And I felt like they spent so little on that and so much on like Bo Peep. And I'm like, man, I don't care half as fucking much about that.
Is that Woody's girlfriend?
Yeah, but she was gone in the third movie. She was just gone. The fact that she came back was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just felt like, yeah, spend more time on that. That was the one territory you hadn't gone yet.
Bo Peep, you said no black sheep. She doesn't even have a black sheep.
No, you she's know got like one conjoined
sheep. I enjoyed
sheep.
That joke.
Thanks, Sean.
I enjoy that.
Anyway,
I don't think I'm
going to
see. I don't know. Maybe when that Disney streaming thing comes out, I'll watch it.
That's what I would do.
My kids are all excited. I'm going to take them. We'll see.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable movie.
I have no doubt they'll all love it. So
yeah. You're a Tom Hanks fan, so
love Tom Hanks.
Oh, but what it's worth seeing for completely is the animation is incredible.
It looks beautiful. Stunning.
Oh my God. The opening scene. You're just looking at, there's like some weather and some like water effects, and it's like, oh my God. And the toys, you know, there's parts they'll get really close to like Woody's eye, and it's like, I could see all the paint detail in his eye.
Damn.
This is incredible, especially because I just watched the old ones last week.
Yeah.
And the first one compared to this is just unbelievable. So, like, yeah, you really, it's worth seeing for that. So,
I mean,
yeah,
it's like, what, 25 years, that first one, right? Like, how long is it?
95.
95,
24.
Yes. Yeah, so about 25.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a quarter of a century, you know? Yeah. We got good.
I saw the chat typing that Keanu Reeves is in the movie.
Yeah, he's in it.
He really is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's having a good
year. Hell of a year.
He is having a great year.
Let me ask you guys in real... Oh, yeah, what were you saying?
No.
In real talk, let's get real. Again, I'm being open and honest with the crowd.
Yeah, thank God.
Is anyone sick of Keanu Reeves?
Not yet.
Here is the thing. I am not, but... I see it where it's like
it's looming.
He's not doing anything to me. Like, he is not pushing himself out there. He's just doing his own thing, and everyone is so into him right now that I could see it where it's like, he's not asking for this. Like, you know, he's embracing it because he's a nice guy. But, like, people are trying to ruin him for me, and you can't. You can't.
Yeah, such a good guy.
Yeah, but it's going to be – it's getting there.
You know, like, I never
really cared about Chris Pratt ever.
Yeah.
But people really fucking did for a while.
Yeah, and that I was, like, not interested
Me neither. And I never – and that's the thing is, like, Chris Pratt was this, like, okay, he was a guy in Parks and Rec, and now he's, like, in my face. And
Jurassic
that
World.
I fucking love him.
Star-Lord.
Because he's so charming. I don't give a fuck about this guy. But Keanu Reeves is like, well, I've loved you since I was a kid in Bill and Ted. So, like, we have a history.
Which,
whether you know it or not,
we filming today?
They started filming Bill and Ted 3 today.
Oh, really?
Today they started
filming. They
tweeted
it out. Yep. I have always loved Keanu. Even when he did the Matrix sequels, people were like, this guy's so fucking wooden. This guy sucks. I survived the Keanu sucks era. And I was the one going, this guy is awesome.
Now let me tell you, when you weren't here and Derek and I were talking about him, he said that that era never existed. And I said, I swear to you, it did exist.
Absolutely did.
It did. Okay,
it was around when he did the sequels. People were like, why did they continue to cast him?
Yeah.
And I was like, that guy rules, and I think when you give him the right role, he's awesome. Because he is that, but that's fine, like, for certain roles. Don't maybe cast him as, you know, there's certain roles you couldn't put Keanu Reeves as, and that's what you got to know. But I've loved him forever, but I am hitting that, he's at, like, this Bill Murray level right now, where I'm going like, hey, everyone, there's not really much to, like
you know,
let him do his thing. I really like him. But the, like, gag about, like, just putting him in everything is like, all right, shut up. Let's. So I've had to mute him on a few different things.
You know what?
Things.
Maybe just mute the people who talk about him.
Because
I think that's the problem.
Definitely.
There are a couple people that I follow that it's just pictures of him a lot.
He's very memeable.
But he's so handsome.
So handsome.
I get it.
That makes a good meme.
Fucking
a handsome
get it.
Meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
But I'm cool with them casting him in whatever they want to do.
Dude, I like
it's
the cyberpunk.
Really just the online stuff. Yeah.
I like the cyberpunk appearance.
Yeah. I mean, that got me to take notice of that. I wasn't even really clued in on that game. I wasn't really pursuing it. And then they showed that, and I was like, hey, you know what? That's cool.
I liked John Wick. I'm hearing that he said in some interview that he'd be down for more Matrix if Wachowskis were directing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's really going anywhere, because I've heard about Matrix reboots.
Yeah, the latest rumor, but again, like, these, I feel like there's a new rumor about it every day, but the latest one is that they're, like, supposedly they're about to announce that, because apparently, you know, it's like the Wachowskis aren't really being given movie projects now. Like
After Jupiter Ascending, right?
They kind of, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of instances of, like, they didn't make their money back kind of since the Matrix. But everyone involved with the Matrix is saying, I'm not doing it unless the Wachowskis
are
involved.
Is great.
Like, that is their baby.
I love that.
Yeah, and the latest rumor is, because there's this guy, I think it's Zach Penn, said, I'm writing the script. Like, they're having me write the script. Supposedly, they're about to announce that he is the one writing the script and that they are directing it.
Fuck yeah.
And like, we'll have input on it.
Okay.
And it sounds like that's probably the safest bet in terms of, like,
everyone gets what they want.
Okay, the studio doesn't really want to just turn it all over to the Wachowskis anymore, but they're getting their way. So hopefully that works. But I don't. What did Zach Penn do? I don't really know. Somebody in the chat saying he sucks, but I can't remember what he did. I loved Cloud Atlas for what
it
was.
I still have to see that.
I thought it was incredible, personally.
I'm part of the problem. I don't even go out and see the movie.
God, be a solution for once.
Yeah, you're right. I owe it to the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
I think the best scenario, if they do a Matrix reboot, because somebody said, would you want it to be a reboot or continuation? I fucking hate reboots.
It could be both.
In terms of just resetting the continuity, I hate that. The Matrix is rare territory where it can be both. They literally set up in those movies that this has all happened before, and this cycle will continue. So they can reboot it with all new characters, but it's like the eighth version of this.
Yeah, what does the architect tell him? That he's the ninth one?
He is the sixth iteration.
The sixth.
He said, we have a method of control. The Matrix was perfect, but human minds didn't buy it because humans are inherently flawed. So they created a flawed version of the Matrix.
We need chaos.
And they said human beings needed to have a choice whether even if it's on a purely subconscious level. So he said, so they planted the matrix in a way that people, some people would want to, or they would wake up from it, or they'd want to wake up, or they'd feel the need to wake up. Even if they weren't totally aware of it, humans all have this floating in their mind, and some would wake up. And so the robots, the machines in that world have Zion ready and prepped for them so that they can escape and feel like, oh, we're hiding in this underground city. Yeah, we're going to. It was all another method of control so that these woken up humans, batteries, can go down in this and then populate the city. They populate. And then when they get to a threatening level, they sweep it out, they flush it out, and then
squiddies.
And then the result of the unfinished, imperfect math of the Matrix forms itself as the anomaly that they call the One. He eventually makes his way back. He is programmed to make his way back to the core of the Matrix. They disseminate the code and everything they learned from it, and they reflush and reboot the Matrix to start all over again. And they do
like
the,
a new install of Windows 98.
I think I didn't pick up on this.
Dude, the subtext in this series is so good. Yeah.
So that is the story of the Matrix. And he tells Neo, the Keanu Reeves Neo, the One that we know, they say, you are the sixth iteration. And the thing, and that's the whole genesis of these sequels, is that he goes, you're going to, there are two doors. This is the one where you go in and we disseminate that code from you. And the Matrix refreshes and humanity continues on existing because the Matrix continues existing. But if you go through that door to save Trinity, because she's about to die, if you go through that, the Matrix will not refresh. Nothing is reset. The Matrix is going to fucking crash. It's all going to break. Humanity goes extinct. So is that worth saving your girlfriend? And he goes, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And that's when the architect goes, oh, you're going to break this shit. I hope you know that. And Neo doesn't know what he's going to do, but he's like, no, I'm going to save them and humanity. How? I don't know. But that's the third movie is like, how do they do it? And then Smith, what does he do in those sequels? He copies himself, replicates himself. He is not behaving the way he should in the Matrix.
He's running
amok. By the end of the third movie, what is the Matrix? It's a bunch of fucking duplicate files because the Matrix hasn't been properly. Smith is the result of the math of the Matrix trying to balance itself out, and it can't because it doesn't understand what the fuck Neo is.
Y2K,
so it's
baby.
Going, compensate, try to make sense of this, and that's what Smith is.
Mm-hmm.
And he even says to Neo, I've been trying to figure out the purpose of humanity, and I figured it out. Purpose of life is to end. He is just trying to figure out one and zero, and he cannot figure that out. So he has this nihilistic thing. And that's what Smith is. And so Neo finds a way to eradicate that. And then what happens? The Matrix is reloaded at the end. And it continues existing. But they give humans, again, a chance to leave if they want. And
free will.
And the robots agree they won't threaten them if they do. That's the truce at the end. Hey, the Matrix will continue. But if people want out, we're not going to fight them. We're going to let them out. And we're not going to fucking kill and all that stuff. See, that's the truce at the end. So this new one, it can be after this truce. It can be, you know, maybe the truce is broken and someone is starting to wake up and realize that, like, hey, everyone is, you know, enslaved in this thing. And it's like, yeah, a long time ago there was a truce and the machines broke that. You know, who knows?
Aren't you glad you know this now, Sean?
I actually legitimately am. Normally when Rock goes on tangents, I kind of tune out. I was into this one.
Yeah.
I think I should watch that with the kids. I think the movie, that may have the sequels. I don't know if they get that. But
a lot of guns.
I get that.
I say just the sequels.
But
do your kids like guns?
It's not blood.
There is true. Blood in the first one.
Is there?
But not...
It's an R, but I don't know.
It's R, but only because of, like, realistic gun violence.
Yeah.
There is blood, but it's not, like, gore shit. It's just real, super realistic gun violence. And that was real touchy at that time, especially.
I love the idea, though, of a reboot and a remake. In the same, like, I mean, I mentioned this before. Like,
I think so.
You could do that with The Princess Bride, and when Fred Savage is a grandpa, he could be the grandpa reading the story to a kid and tell the same fucking story, and that would be awesome.
It's
so
both,
do that.
One in the same.
It's one in the same. If they don't do that, that is a huge missed opportunity.
I was thinking, like, how crazy would it be if this new Matrix movie comes out and, you know, the screening starts, it pans down into a city, and you see Keanu, but he's agent, like, and it's
Yeah.
Somehow they've turned Keanu into the Agent Smith character.
Yeah, maybe that they, because even when Smith shows up after he, you know, Smith died.
Yeah.
And then he shows up again and reloaded, and they're, and he's like, how, they're like, you know, how did this happen? And Smith goes, I'm not sure what happened. It's something when you came, when you absorbed me or whatever, something overwritten or copied. And yes. It's always kind of been left to like, oh, maybe there's file, maybe Neo's like, programming. Well,
Smith even got into reality. Smith got himself into a physical meat body in the Zion too.
Yeah.
I understand computers and computer lingo, we'll say, way better now than when I watched these movies the one time. I feel like I should, if I watch it now, I will get things that I definitely did not even pick up on.
Yeah.
The first
time. Hey, Sean, any moment, any hour of the day, you want to call me and say, I'm ready to watch the Matrix sequels?
I'll say, Rocco, it's time, and I'll hang up, and you'll know what that means.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And then you hang up the phone, like, on the payphone.
Hell yeah.
And you fly into the sky.
Yeah.
To rage against the machine.
Come on. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, still.
I just love Jordan Jones in the chat. Sean is so fucking lucky that I could call you and do that. I'm living people's dreams right
now. That should be, dude. This game days, dude, if there's no other official after hours event, dude, we'll rent the room for longer, and it'll be like after hours Matrix screening, and I'll talk through the entire thing.
Wow, what a treat.
That would be fun.
You know what? But we already rented the room, and we can't be in there all night, so tell you what. I'll let everyone know what room I'm staying in.
Perfect.
And we'll just flood in. We'll let everyone know. There's got to be room for, how many? At least 100 people.
You get like 12 people on a bed. They sit like cross-legged.
Yeah, cross-legged.
Don't sit on my bed, though. No, that's
not. Oh, that's your bed. That's where you're going to, that's your stage. Your bed.
That says horny bed.
No, that's not. Don't.
You don't want to sit on that bed.
No. Well, it's just rude. You put your ass on my bed.
It's moist.
I hate the ass on the
pillow. It's a wet area.
Deal.
Ass on a pillow is no good. Socks on bed. My pillow I've had.
I've
had socks on pillows. I've had asses on my pillow. No go. Sorry.
Somebody in the chat said, this is set up for the game day's orgy.
When you
Hey, whatever it takes to get to watch the Matrix films. Mm. No, no, but I was going to say... we were just talking about that. We were in the car or something about hotel etiquette.
Yeah.
And we were saying, it was like, we were like, okay, when we're, you know, like we were doing GDC and editing videos and we're all together like in someone's hotel room. I don't care if people sit on my bed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but they're for hours.
Don't sit on my fucking pillow.
Yeah, don't sit on the pillow.
Like ass on pillow, backed up, sitting on the pillow. It's like, dude, I mean, fucking sleep.
That's what I do. My own area to keep anyone else off.
A lot of times, I mean, I'm sure I've done this to you, so I only just apologize, not knowing if I did or not. But I will say that a lot of times I will sit back there, but I'll take the pillow and hold the pillow, which is still weird. It's not my pillow. I probably shouldn't be doing that. That's weird. But I don't put my butt on it.
You hold it like you hug it? Like you're
it's just like, binky? It's just like there. You know, just...
You're hugging it.
Yeah.
No, stay away from
I hug it and I cry.
I don't... Now, I don't mind if somebody wants to rest their head on my pillow. Like, people put heads on pillows. That's
and, yeah, and that pillow is a loner for you anyways.
Yeah. Personally, I don't care about that. But asses, you...
Yeah. I've seen people, like, let's watch the TV, and they lay on their stomach on the bed with their sock feet on the pillows.
Yeah, I see that too.
Don't do that.
I hope I don't do that.
Well, yeah,
that sounds like something I would do.
You're guilty for having feet all...
everything.
Everywhere.
Everything.
But I don't know that I've ever seen you with your sock feet on my pillow.
Well, good news, I rarely wear socks.
So. That's even worse, like toenails.
That's even worse.
Scratching toenails.
Is barefoot or socks worse?
Barefoot.
In my world, socks are worse. Socks are worse.
Because they stink or what?
Because, they're sweaty and they're stinky.
They're all
like feet can be these things too, but that can wash off easily. Yeah, where socks have to go in the washing machine.
Socks are gross. Feet are just incredible.
Is everyone
they're not incredible, but
is everyone here off white socks?
Oh.
Oh,
black socks.
Black socks, right?
The only white socks that I wear are when they are characterized by something.
Yeah, like In-N-Out socks.
Like, I got those In-N-Out socks. Yeah. Those are white. No, but otherwise, no. I wear, like, patterned.
The lightest? Like, we all grew up, why'd our mom buy us all white gym socks? Because I think
that's the look at the time.
That's all they made?
And, you know, the only socks I have now, actually, I have these socks that are not... These are close to white.
Yeah, but they're Padres. That's
but cool. Padres, and if but you may notice, black. It says number one dad. Oh, you can't tell.
Oh,
but it says cool. Number one dad on that.
Number one stunner. What?
Now, those are some socks.
Real quick, film my feet. So, I don't know. These were samples sent by our sock people, and they're logos for some company, but I don't know what the company is.
Oh.
It might say on
show
here.
Feet.
Oh, Roll Bar. What's Roll Bar?
Oh, you dude, Roll Bar is like Roll Bar? Fucked up porn.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
Like really
it's
hardcore
like
stuff.
The worst of the worst is on Roll Bar.
Oh shit, somebody in the chat said they're like a worse Monsanto. Oh no.
Oh.
No, nobody said that. Nobody
so
said
that's
that.
A sample of like what our socks are going to be like? I mean,
yeah,
obviously
yeah, they'll be like yeah, they'll be
oh,
like
that's crew. Nice.
I like
I
the
love
crew.
These socks. I love them. So very I'm nice. Really stoked about that. But yeah, what is Roll Bar? I don't. It's error tracking software.
Oh,
error okay. tracking. No, no.
That
they
sounds...
sent me these. They sent me Soylent, which I was stoked about, and then some other thing that was like ping pong club.
What is error tracking? Where are my socks? They sent them just to you, care of Rocco Bodhi. Literally, no one else.
Main guy.
I'll get the ping pong.
You know,
socks.
I don't know who they were for. I just put them all on.
So you can have them now. He's done with them.
No. Oh, you know, it's just now occurring to me that they sent three pairs of socks.
Interesting.
And they all went
I
to Rocco.
Why. Yeah.
I just kind of put them all on.
Rocco's like, Rocco and never... Rocco.
Oh, they just
nice
went to my house
me.
And I went, ooh, and I did it. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
I hey, would have taken
hey,
those.
Hey, you want to, you can.
Try them on.
Yeah, no. Take it off.
Try no. them on. Go ahead.
No.
We get it.
We don't need to close that. Up for this part.
Oh.
Zoom in on that. We'll get demonetized. Oh, pale.
No. I don't know what else we need to talk about
nice.
On this podcast, but
no,
so,
I mean, we're hitting that time, right?
I thought
funk
so.
Is in the air now,
isn't it? It's been an hour, right?
Yeah,
totally.
We hit our quota. Hey, before we go though,
yeah,
before we go,
yeah,
I want to say a couple things because we didn't talk about things we probably should have, like our judgment video.
Oh yeah,
and our live show.
What?
And I just want to say real quick, I'm not going to go far into the live show. If you were there, I just want to say thank you. So much. It was two of the best nights of my life. We had so yeah. much fun.
It was a lot
I've
of fun.
I've never felt like a rock star until that. And I
yeah,
there
was
a
insane.
Moment last night where something happened and I was like, this is what being a band is. And I'm doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I've never thought I would do it. So that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
So thank you everyone for going and for, you know, buying a ticket to something you know what the fuck even was. So
yeah.
we just want to say thank you and I had a great time.
That was really incredible experience to do that. And, you know, it really wasn't, honestly, my fear going into it, because people kept saying, are you nervous? First live comedy shows, because these are more involved, because a lot of people thought, oh, these are just going to be like their panels. But
yeah.
they're really not. Like, we were doing sketches and improv and all kinds of different layers to it. And people were like, are you nervous? Are you nervous? And I was like, you know, I'm nervous about technical stuff. Like, does our video play? Does this work? Does the mic work? I get nervous about that. Doing theater, that's how we met.
Yeah.
That part doesn't make me nervous. I felt so comfortable and like, and I was just having fun getting into the performance of it and all that stuff. So I really, really liked it. And when it was over, I'm enjoying it, but I was like, are other people? But the response was so good last night. And I had a couple different people say to me after the show, like something to the effect of like, that felt like your next step. Like, that felt like the evolution of Mega 64. Like, it, like,
huh.
Like, this is kind of, I was like, really?
Live sketch show.
Like, I think a lot of people didn't expect kind of what we did.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So
the surprise.
I'm really stoked about that. I'm glad people liked it. And I just want to let everyone know, we really do want to do more of these and go everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do.
Yeah.
Because we know
ideally,
that you're on the East Coast.
Yeah.
We know that you're
we really
in the Midwest,
want to do East Coast.
In other countries,
and,
even.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't know what the future holds for this show,
yeah.
but we will say that we're looking into it. We would love to
yeah.
do it. So
yeah,
you know,
I want to say like
thanks to all of everyone who came out, but also like so many, so good to see both nights. So many familiar faces.
It's true.
People that we've met over the years.
Dude, people
at
flew
conventions.
In from like New York to come to this.
I mean,
and Boston.
It
and
was
everywhere.
It was really cool getting to see everyone out there in the crowd, and we were really happy and really had an awesome time putting those two shows on.
Yeah. So thank you to everybody, and stay tuned. Hopefully, we'll have more to announce with that soon. Regarding the Judgment video, I feel bad we didn't really cover that.
We can
cover it more too when. I mean, we're probably not going to have one of these next.
Let's talk about it right now. If you want, we can go a little longer. I have to pee though, and I've been told
I'm holding.
I've been trying
right
so
now?
Hard. Yeah, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I'll set this up.
You set it up.
Yeah, you can wear these when you come back. You don't want to change? Okay.
He doesn't want that.
Anyway, but yeah, this Judgment video that we did, it was really, really awesome opportunity. We found out that the creator of the Yakuza games was coming to E3, and the awesome people at Sega let us know. And it was basically like, hey, he would be down to do a video if you think you can pull that off. And I was like, hell yes. The Yakuza games are like, that is my video game comfort food. I could play those fucking all day. I just love those. And so obviously Judgment, I was super excited for because it's not a sequel to those games, but it's that same DNA, it's a detective story.
Yeah.
But,
It lives in Kamurocho. It's in that same environment.
Yeah.
It's in that same game engine.
Yeah, same soul.
But changes the gameplay around to where, like, okay, the brawling, the fighting is similar if you're accustomed to the Yakuza fighting system.
Yeah.
But the other gameplay elements, like the trailing of your suspects and just the QTE, like, chase scenes and stuff, it's like adding a different style of gameplay in that sandbox, which is already so fun.
It was really cool. And we mentioned this before, but now people know what we were doing is they invited me and Kevin went down. It was a day we had off or whatever. And they invited us to come play Judgment before it was out at the Sega headquarters. And me and Kevin went by that day and they were like, here's an early build of the game with English voices and all that stuff. So check it out and see what you think. And we were playing it and tailing the guy. And we were cracking up at one when he would dart behind stuff like to like not get caught.
He looks so stylish.
And then he sent a drone in to spy on him. And I thought it was really funny. I'm like, they don't hear that drone? Like let's spy on this guy. That was really funny. But, you know, those games in general are what I love in all entertainment, and it's not just games, but me personally, my favorite entertainment is when you find that perfect line between serious and funny, where it's like they're taking it dead serious, but what are we doing? This is so corn, you know, like silly or whatever. And Yakuza games have always done that really, really well, is that, you know, I'm going to go sell a chicken at this place, and it's a dead, you know, it's Kiryu is like walking in and he's serious, but then he puts a rooster on the table and it's, you know what I mean? It's like, it's that kind of thing. So I love that. And so playing that game, it was like, hey, Kevin, this is a video. Like, there's no way we can't make a video about this. And so we did that. And then luckily got,
I got his name right here.
Yeah.
Toshihiro Nagoshi.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. We got him, in the video and, super cool guy. But kind of an elusive guy, like not everyone could get time with him. So we were lucky that
kind of an intimidating guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was so happy to meet him, though. Like, I really am so glad that all these Japanese developers are willing to work with Mega 64 because we've gotten to meet so many people over the years. And this guy was no exception. Just super nice, super helpful in filming. That was during E3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and one thing that was kind of cool too is, we needed a place kind of near E3 to film with him because, you know, he was a very busy guy, and so it was kind of like, well, we're not filming this at E3. That wouldn't fit with the video. We got to go somewhere secluded, and so I was just scouting around before, and I was like, I know this convention center pretty well because we've done so many cons there over the years. So I'm at the LA Convention Center, and I'm like, there's a back dock area, like, behind the building. Let's go there. And I went out there, and I'm like, there's just a bunch of, like, crates and shit out here. This would be a great place to film. And we went there, and it was like, typically filming anywhere in LA is a pain.
Mm. Yeah.
But like, it's like, where's your permit? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Where's my cut? Kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We went out there and then we were shooting and I'm realizing out of my peripheral, I'm like, oh, they're all these guys want to like move shit with forklifts and stuff. Oh my God.
All the union we're in their guys. Way.
And then we said cut and the dudes in the the dude on the forklift is like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to run this until I knew your shot was over. Is it safe to do it? And I was like, yeah, no problem. All these guys that work behind the scenes at the convention center were like, really like, hey, I don't want to mess up your shot. Sorry, I'm going to move this crate. Is that okay? It was like, yeah, thank you. Like, they were really cool. Like, a lot of people are jerks in LA when it comes to filming, but these guys were totally like, hey, no, we don't want to get in your way. This looks great. Yeah, this is cool.
It was a perfect storm.
Yeah, finding- so it just worked out so good. Like, so thank you to all the kind workers of the LA Convention Center. Yeah, so it was really, really fun filming that. Really cool opportunity, and I was intimidated as hell. So that, you know, it all worked out. Nice. He was actually a very, very nice guy, but we were like, okay, crank it up for this. Okay, and he did. He was just, it was just like, yeah, get right in my face. And what's fun with filming a video like this too is it actually, it doesn't sound like it might be fun just saying it, but when you have a higher up from a company on set to tell you what you can and cannot do, that sounds like it would be restrictive, but I love that because it's like, no, you don't. We don't have to go through a bunch of emails. We can
tell me now,
right here and now. Can we do this? Can we do that? You know, he's out there waiting on the dock. Well, what's he doing? And I'm like, you know what? It'd be cool if he's, you know, maybe what if he was like smoking a cigarette? You know, is that cool with you? Oh, okay. Yeah. I think, you know, that's up to him. Oh, no, he doesn't want to do that. Okay, that's fine. You know, or just whatever, like simplifies stuff like that everything. Where you can do it. Because I remember we had that with Konami. When we filmed with Konami, it was like, okay, we want to reference Boktai. Can we do that? And we went over to him and, you know, it takes a minute and it's just like, yeah, you can reference Boktai. Okay, great. I love having that one, yeah. That interaction. And so, yeah, we had that with this and it was really, really helpful. It was just a great experience. It was really, really cool. And, I had a lot of fun doing that video. And, that was the first time we have a new camera that we've been using for all our videos this year. A kind of a nice Canon cinema camera, whatever, but we never used its high frame rate slow motion.
Oh yeah.
And we got to in this one when I was like, you know, in all those games, when you do the takedown moves, they go
your tongue, Sean. Motion.
Oh,
so we got to
your
shoot
tongue. They kept saying, wag your tongue more. I'm like, ah.
I think it's so funny though because it's in that slow motion high frame rate, gross. And it's just.
I will say, we were filming this video, and I fall to the ground.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the fuck happened, but I just missed the ground. Like, my hands did not catch me.
Would you fall into the air?
Jaw. Oh. Onto the ground. Like, straight up. Like, ugh. And, like, I felt fucking terrible after that. Like, we kept filming, but I was, like, dizzy and nauseous. And, like, I like, Derek, you gotta drive back. And I legitimately do not remember the drive back to the studio. Like,
yeah, I think you rocked yourself.
I fucked myself.
You got
up.
A concussion, bro.
I don't know if it's a concussion or
you don't
I don't
think.
Know. I don't
yeah, because Sean went to sleep and came back.
I did fall asleep.
Oh my God.
I did take a nap. I lay because I felt so sick. I'm like, I'm gonna lay down in my office. Oh my I fell asleep for like 10 minutes. I'm like, I shouldn't have done that.
That's how you don't wake up.
I shouldn't have done that.
you were here.
Straight. Here I am. Hello.
Shouts out to Derek for a beautiful artist sketch.
Oh yeah,
in the video. I mean, nailed every feature of our director there. That was great.
Yeah. That was fun. But anyway, I think that's all I had to really say about it. It was really, really cool. And check out and again, like I've been playing Judgment.
Check the game out. It is fun.
Great, so yeah,
that's all I've been playing lately. There.
Yeah.
Well.
The chat seems really sold that you had a concussion.
Well, that's what you know. That's
they're
what
all
I
doctors.
Thought too. I thought that, and then these guys are like, "Ah, oh, you're fine."
I mean, you slept and you came back.
I shouldn't have done that though. That was a mistake. That was a mistake. Don't do things that I do.
Do you feel okay now?
Yeah,
you did okay on the live show on stage last night.
No, I feel like
remembered all your lines and.
If you really have a serious concussion, you fall asleep. What happens? You don't die, do you? Go into a coma?
So. I think
you die?
I think so.
I don't know if you die. I think you like have trouble waking up, right? I guess that would be dying.
I slept. It was
you never wake up again.
Yeah, it's just, you just don't do it again.
You can die. You can die.
Self-death.
It's like serious. Now I'm feeling like I just dodged a bullet here. I don't know.
Yeah, bro.
But again, I'm not sure if it was a concussion or not.
You go into a coma and don't wake up. God, that sounds good right now.
Fuck. Terry Schiavo shit.
Wow. Well,
I'm just saying it's been a very busy week.
I slept like a baby last night.
I guess I am lucky to be here, and thank you for watching, and we will see you later. Come see us at all the conventions. We'll be all over the country selling stuff, signing stuff, and being fucking friendly as shit.
To New Zealand, so, I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We announced that, by the way.
So much stuff.
Sorry, Jesus. But we are coming. Well, we'll have more info later, but we are coming to New Zealand. Armageddon Expo.
We're going to... I mean, that's...
Next level.
That's the other side of the world for us.
Yeah. So we are coming to New Zealand. I've seen a lot of people. It just got announced last night. It kind of surprised us. We got out of our show and it's like, oh, New Zealand people are tweeting at us. What? But yeah, it is happening. We're coming to New Zealand. We are not doing, because I've seen a lot of people that are like, oh, they're coming to this. Well, maybe they're near Australia, so maybe they'll come there and I'll wait for that. We are not. We're going to we have a very busy schedule later this year.
Yeah.
And that's all we have time to do. We're coming out to New Zealand and coming back. So just letting everybody know we won't be at any of the other. We're not going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Australia. Someday we'll see you. But
someday.
That ain't happening this year.
Someday. I have no idea, literally no idea, what it takes to get to Australia, to New Zealand.
Like, it's a simple walk into Mordor.
I don't know what that entails. That is nothing. But in my mind, on the map, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Again, I could be off, but come on over. Just.
You could jump across.
Take a ferry over. Do you guys have little ferries? Take a tugboat over.
Yeah, we'll take a tugboat. I'm sure they have some cute Australian name. Take a tug.
Anyways.
Hey, you going to take a tug?
Garrett, the fucking you fucked your stand up. Thank you for watching.
Anyway, thank you guys.
Have a great night. Does this sound cool?
Anime Expo and RTX.
Dual mics. Is this cool? Have a great. Is this bad?
Oh, it's like surround sound.
Have a great night. Talk to you later.
Meg, you didn't
see you later.
Meg, you didn't do a cool bit to end the show. Okay. Go ahead, Meg.